Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your presence. Knowing, O God, that you came down in this hour with a shout, with a message of deliverance, a message of mercy, a message of grace. And understanding, O God, that this world is going and spiraling faster and faster into an evil condition, where good is spoken of as evil and evil is spoken of as good. Father, we know that you believe in separation. And Lord, you're going to separate us from the wicked. And oh God, for an eternity, we won't see them again. But we'll only have the righteous, your righteousness, in your children to reflect, to talk to fellowship with. And so, Lord, we just say, bring it on. Help us to be ready, oh God. And even if we're not ready, oh God, just bring it on, Lord. May we have the heart that Samson had, he said, or Brother Bram said, let me die with my enemies, but oh God, just get it over with. Our hearts sigh and cry for the abomination that's done in the city. And we have a city where the abomination is greatest of all, and that's Washington, D.C. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we sigh and cry, oh God, to lift us up in heavenly places and to realize, Lord, that our place is with you, not here amongst these men. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to continue in the study we began last night called The Token. Because it's a very important sermon for us to study at this time. And Lord willing, if we have time, when we finish this, I'd like to go into desperation because Brother Brown said that was needed to follow the token. So the token was needed to follow the seals. So we left off last night reading from paragraph 17, and this morning I'd like to begin at paragraph 18. And let me just put it up on the board for you to read as well. Brother Ram says, now we don't know when I watch the clock and when it gets time, well, these, oh, I got many, many scriptures wrote down here. So not knowing that I won't be with you for a while, and how do we know that this won't be the last time that some of us will ever get together? So let's try to approach it just as reverently, and I know that it's hard. The Lord gave us a nice morning now for the service, just nice, and let's try to concentrate now on everything as we speak of, so that if there's anything in there that the Lord would want you to know, that would be given to you. So he says, let's be concentrating on the words that are coming forth. And we don't stand here just to be seen. We never come here just so that others could see what clothing that we're wearing. We come here for one thing, and as our brother prayed that prayer, and he's talking about Brother Vail, we prayed the opening prayer, we're here for to hear the word coming to us. We want that, because that is the only thing that's going to mean anything to us, anything that's going to be substantial, anything that's going to help us. And we are a dying people. All human beings are headed towards eternity. And then we got this much time to make our decision on which way that that we're going to head, and the road is before us. And we take either side we want to choose. That's the way he put Adam and Eve, and that's the way he puts us. We must remember that no matter what we do or how successful we are in life, without Christ, we've totally lost everything. See. Now this morning I'd like to look at the statement that Brother Brown makes here. Without Christ, we've totally lost everything. We find the Apostle John make a similar statement in the second epistle, which we call 2 John. So reading 2 John, and reading from verse 8, he says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Now this is the hour that he said he would come in clouds with power, and every man would be rewarded according to his deeds. Well, the Voice translation puts it this way, ensure that you do not lose what we have worked for, so that you will be fully rewarded. The NIV translation says almost the same thing. It says, watch out that you do not lose what we've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. So evidently, you can lose what you've had. And he says, watch out that you don't. I'd like to read one more version, if you don't mind, from the Weiss translation. He says, ever be keeping a watchful eye upon yourselves in order that you do not lose the things that we've accomplished, but that you might receive a full reward. So the Apostle John is letting us know that we are very quite capable of losing everything that we seem to have accomplished, if we're not careful. And in the next verse, he tells us how that we could lose it all. He says, "Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." And the Weiss translation says it this way: "Everyone who goes beyond the limits of true doctrine and does not remain in the aforementioned doctrine of Christ does not possess God. The one who remains in the doctrine of Christ, this one possesses both the Father and the Son. If, as is the case, a certain one comes to you and this teaching he is not bearing, stop receiving him into your house and stop giving him greetings. For the one who gives him greeting is a partner in his works which are pernicious." So the Apostle John is showing us that as long as we stay within the confines of the doctrine of Christ, we possess the Father and Son. And he's talking about the life of the Father and the Son. So you say, well, what are the confines? We're going to talk about that this morning. Because when you step outside of those confines, you're stepping out of Christ. You're stepping out of the light. You know, he said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, what if you say, I'm walking in the light, but he's not there? His presence isn't there. You're not walking in the light as he is in the light. It doesn't say walk in the light and everything's fine. It says walk in the light as he is in the light. You've got to walk in his presence. You've got to be aware of his presence. Now, the actual Greek word used here is the word echo, where the English translation of the word hath was, or the Weiss translated the word as possess. In either way, we see that the word echo is strictly used, speaking of a living reflection of Father and Son. Thus, the life of the Father and the life of the Son reflecting in the individual echoes both Father and Son. Now, this is critical because he first warns us that we can lose this reflection. And thus the life of the reflection if we go beyond the limits of the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. In other words, we could, if we're not mindful and careful in our echoing of the doctrine of Christ, it is possible for us to come to the place where we are no longer echoing or reflecting the very life of Christ, but we've come to the place where we are just merely repeating as though we learned it intellectually or have an intellectual understanding. And I'm afraid that's where many people in this message have fallen to. When that happens, we've lost what we've worked for. When we repeat it as though it is mere theology and not a life, we have somehow lost the boundaries or the limits of the doctrine, and we have relegated the doctrine of Christ to a mere intellect and not the actual reflection or echoing of the life that is in the Father and Son. Notice we see the same thing in 1 John 5 and verse 12. This is beautiful. Only a little more clearly than what John says in 2 John 9. He says, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life." And since that word hath is translated from the Greek word echo, then we're looking at the fact that if there is a genuine echoing of the Son of God, then there will be a genuine echoing of the very life that projected forth from the Son of God. So we're not dealing here with just mere intellectual recital or repeating of words. We're dealing with the very life of Christ projecting from our vessel. That's why the Bible says, "My words are spirit, they're life." But the Bible also says, "The word killeth, and the spirit giveth life." You can have the word that killeth. If you don't have the spirit, the word you do have, it will kill. It becomes a very legalistic thing. But if you have the Spirit of Christ in that word, then it's going to reflect the very nature and the very character of Christ. Now, this is quite a statement that the Apostle John is giving us here, because since we believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, then these words were not the words of John, but rather the words of God given to us through God's servant John. Now, this takes us back to 2 John 8, where the promise is that if we remain within the doctrines of Christ, there will be a genuine echoing of the Father and Son, and hence a true reflection of the very life of the Father and Son projecting forth from us. Now notice, however, that the Apostle John is speaking to us here concerning two types of people, or shall we say twins. Notice he contrasts those who remain in the doctrine of Christ and those who go outside the limits of the doctrine of Christ, and thus they no longer echo. So one echoes, one doesn't echo. Twins. They both have to deal with echo. They both have to deal with walking in the light. Past tense or future tense or present tense? Now, And thus they no longer echo, but merely are theologically based in their understanding of the doctrine. Now John is contrasting the difference between these two people, and whether they echo or whether they do not echo, which is whether they are truly reflecting the life or they are just mimicking the life. One has life and the other does not have life. So one echoes that life while the other does not echo that life that was in the Son. Now first of all, he speaks of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine. Now the word transgress used here in this verse of scripture was translated from the Greek word parabeno, which is made from two words coming together. The word para, which means location, proximity, or vicinity, and the word beno, which speaks of to walk or to keep pace with. That's very important. I want you to just etch that into your mind. Keeping pace with the Holy Spirit. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's not sons of God, well, you know what? The Lord went way on behind, way ahead of us, and so we're going to follow somewhere. Hopefully we'll get there, but he's out of sight. No, being led, he's in sight. You understand? Location, proximity, or vicinity, and the word beno means to walk or keep pace with. Placed together, it speaks of not keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. In other words, the limits of the doctrine of Christ is being in Christ. And you step out of Christ, you step out of the light that he is the light, and he's in that light. The Bible says if you walk in the light as he is in the light, that pillar of fire there is not God, but it's the Shekinah presence showing where he is. And if you walk in that light, as he is in that light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, and you are echoing, you are reflecting. You have that omega reflection, as Brother Vail taught us in 83 and 84. So place together means not keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. Therefore, we can read this verse as whosoever does not keep pace with. Now think about walking in the light. Whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. Now, how can you not keep pace with and go beyond the limits? You're either looking back or you're looking forward. Because this God is moving in this light, and we're all huddled together, and we're walking as he's in the light, we're walking with him, we're following with him. And if you just stop for a moment to reflect back, that light moves on. Where are you now? You're not in the light. You're not in his presence. Therefore, how can you be echoing and reflecting his presence if you're not in it? Now, by memory and by recital and by intellect, you can talk about what he did when he was over here. But now he's over here, and you're back over here. And you can talk about all those wonderful things that God did through the prophet and everything else. And you're missing what God is doing right here. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about walking like Enoch walked and walking up. Enoch walked daily with him. Paul said, I am crucified daily. We've got to be in that same condition of walking daily, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, every single day. Walking with him, walking in the light as he is in the light. Then we echo, then we reflect. So we see the comparison John is making up here. It has to do with those who would abide in, which means to remain in, versus those who will not keep pace with, and thus will not abide in or remain in. And thus they fall out of line, so to speak. And what was the vision Brother Branham had? Stay in line! Stay in the light! You understand? And thus we will not abide or remain in. Thus they fall out of line, so to speak, and they are no longer walking in the light because the light has moved on and they have stood still. The danger I see is that the foolish virgin once had oil in her lamp. That's a fact. That's a truism. The foolish virgin once had the oil. They once had an echo. They once had a reflection from that lamp. And the vessel, it says they had oil in their vessel. The vessel is this. It once had oil in it, once had that anointing upon it. Once had a reflection, once had an echoing. But something happened. They stopped still. They said, oh, wasn't he a great man? Now they start to focus on the man, and God just keeps moving on. That's what Brother Vail said. He says, you got your eyes on me, you'll go right to hell. Now, Brother Brown never said that. Brother Bell did. He said it many, many, many times. Get your eyes off the vessel, he told me. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. So I see the danger is that the foolish virgin who once had oil in their lamp, but it has run out. They once walked in the light as he is in the light, but somehow they stopped moving forward with the light, and what life that they had has become stagnated and transformed from echo to recital. That's it. That's the revelation. That's quite a deep revelation to think about. Now, Brother Branham said in a sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, now you go back and try to live again. What if that life took place down? Now, you think that that life could ever talk? Or go back after that old shucks dried up? Ever go back and live in it again? He's talking about the whole thing coming up. There was life in the roots. There was life in the shuck. In the stalk. In the shuck. There was life in the tassel. But no more. At the harvest time, it's dried up, dried up, dried up, dried up. And only there's life in the seed. Because the spoken word is the original seed. And there's got to be that seed that's been planted. It'll come up again. So what life they had has become stagnated, transformed from echo to recital. They can talk it. They can quote it. But is it reflecting in their life? Is it reflecting in the way that they speak? Now, Brother Branham said again, what if that life took back down there? Now, you think that that life would ever go, would ever talk, go back after that old shucks dried up? Ever go back and live in that old dried up shuck again? It never does. For it is impossible for those which were once enlightened, and as Brother Vail brought out to us, that word means those who were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass. You think the word stopped in 1965? I've got news for you. It's like a cyclotron. It keeps turning, turning, and turning. And God keeps turning the corner. You know what he's doing? He's losing a lot of people who are just kind of drifting. He says, for it is impossible for for those who were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it comes to pass, they're dead and they're gone. And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned, is that right? Right there from a vindicated prophet. He says, you don't move with the light as the light is moving, you're dead. I'm sorry, you're dried up. And if they are dead, then the life that once was in the shuck has left it, right? Therefore, like the foolish virgin, they've lost their oil. Therefore, to go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ tells us that these do not keep pace with or remain in. If you have your Bibles, you might want to write that in there. They do not remain in the doctrine of Christ that is coming to pass, as Brother Branham said. Therefore, they do not echo God, nor are they reflecting his life, present tense. The oil has gone out of the vessel. They once had the oil, but it is gone. They once walked in the light as it was breaking, but now they are fixated on the light from 20 years ago, although the light is still moving on with him who is the light. So to be put it bluntly, they once walked in the light, and while they walked, they had life. But they stopped to look back, and the light kept moving on, but they did not, because they stopped to look back. What were they looking back at? A vessel that did have life. Now, on the other hand, those who remain in the doctrine of Christ are those who echo present tense, which is to reflect the life of both Father and Son, present tense. Because the pillar of fire is still leading us into the money. Now, the word half is what we wish to examine here this morning, because we find this word half used in both of our texts, and this most important scripture of 2 John 9 concerning the doctrine of Christ is actually opens up our understanding, because it is identified with what John is telling us in 1 John 5 and verse 12. And once you understand that this word hath means, what it means, you will understand that the same thing is being spoken of in both of these scriptures. It shows the consistency or the continuity of the word of God. Now, examining this word, and that word also is very important, consistency or continuity. In examining this word hath, we find the word was translated from the Greek word echo and is used over 600 times throughout the scripture. The Greek word echo has various applications of usage, including to have and to hold, kind of like in our wedding ceremony, where we say, will you so-and-so take this woman to have and to hold? So it shows possession, it shows relationship. You can't have and hold her if she's not there, right? But no matter how you slice it, both meanings of the word echo show possession or relationship. And so we can see that the root meaning of this word speaks of relationship, whether directly or remotely, and thus the main strength of usage concerning this word has to do with continuity or relationship, or to make it simple, continuing in the relationship. So if you continue to echo, you continue in the relationship. But if you do not continue in the relationship, then you no longer are echoing. Now Matthew 7:19, Jesus said, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Well, what if it brought forth good fruit for many years? Well, that's good. It was profitable at that time. What happens when it starts no longer producing fruit? It's hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now notice, not everyone gets together and talks the word. Not everyone that talk, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means preached. Have we not preached in thy name? And in thy name, have we not cast out devils? We've done, you know, supernatural things. And in thy name, we've done many wonderful works. That's wonderful works. Be John 14:12. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And iniquity is no do right, you don't do it. Now, Brother Bell knew Dr. Hoyer, who was perhaps the best student of Greek language in this country, that this country has ever had. And he said that this verse should be translated as, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. Now, notice, I'll read that verse again. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. And Dr. Hoyer said it should be read, I used to know you as my wife, but I do not know you as my wife anymore. In other words, it speaks to us of the great divorcement. And this is no different than those who walked in the light and had some echo and reflection of life for a season, but who stopped walking. In the same way, Jesus says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, and that's the key right there, you hear and you do. And how can you do if you don't recognize what you hear? Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. Brother Ram taught us that. In other words, these people who hear, they recognize, and then they act upon the Word of God. And he says, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's Revelation. In other words, if you hear and recognize and act upon the Word, it is because it is revealed to you. That's Revelation. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's Revelation. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, and that's the key right there. Some hear and do, some hear and don't do. Some hear and do because they recognize, some hear and don't do because they didn't recognize. The recognition is revelation. The not recognizing is a lack of revelation. In other words, they may have heard, but because they did not recognize, then they did not act upon it because it was not truly revealed to these people. Now, they could quote it. They could say, didn't Brother Vail preach a wonderful sermon here and said this? Didn't Brother Brown say this? Oh, it's beautiful. But you don't see it in their life, then it's not recognized. It's not revelation. It's just intellect. Just talk. And he says, they should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. In other words, the same trials came upon both. The same winds, the same rain, the same floods came. But the one built upon revelation weathered the storm because it was revealed to them, and therefore it was life to them. The others did not weather the storm because although they heard with their ears, they did not understand with their hearts, because it was not revealed to them. And that is exactly what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. And the disciples came and they said unto him, why do you speak thou to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. So here's two groups again. Both hear, but only one understands what they hear, while the other also hears, but they do not understand what they've heard. And the reason one understands while the other does not understand is because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that no man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. And that's why the token is so important. Because you could be walking in the light of the past and think you're walking in the light as he is in the light. You understand? And I see that everywhere. I think some of you do too. People, like Brother Ramsey, people miss God because they're always looking back, always looking forward, and they're failing to recognize what is God doing here today. What is he doing in my life? What's he doing in your life? No man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. And if then you wonder, and you're looking around, you're finding, looking for questions and this and that, then just get the Holy Ghost. And all the mysteries are going to be gone. Because it'll make sense to you. And as Brother Vail said, those people that say Brother Branham's confusing, he said it's because their minds are so muddied up with all their own thinking. Brother Branham knew exactly what he's saying, and he meant exactly what he said. He wasn't trying to hide it from people. And good grief, what kind of a God do we got? You say God's a God of, he's not the God of confusion, and then he is a God of confusion? Well, who's confused? God's confusing. God's not confusing. God's confusing. God's not confusing. Who's confused? Not, certainly not God. Certainly not his voice. Therefore, the one who hears and recognizes and acts upon the Holy Ghost, while the one who hear but do not recognize and therefore do not act upon are those who cannot understand the things of God because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And I would say, and unqualifiably, 95 to 99% of the ministers in this message don't have the Holy Ghost, including many who followed Brother Vail's ministry. And I'm just laying that flat out. I'm not fighting with anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter therein, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Amen. Not those who say, I'm riding in on Brother Branham's coattails. You're not going to ride in on anybody's coattails because God don't have grandchildren. I wish he did, because I love my grandchildren. But he don't. God has sons and daughters. Then Jesus says, for whosoever hath, there's that word echo again, for whosoever is made of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And why more abundance? If you echo? Because an echo gives the same word over and over and over again. In other words, it is life. And life is constantly reproducing itself over and over again. Your heart doesn't beat just one time. If it did, you're dead. Your heart beats over and over and over. And you know what? As long as you're alive, it's beating over and over and over again. And as long as you're alive in Christ, you are echoing and echoing and echoing and reflecting and reflecting and reflecting. In the physical, it's called cell growth. Once the cells stop replicating, life is starting to leave the body. Only living cells can do that. But whosoever hath, whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away that which he thinks that he's echoing. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they, the ones who echo not, because they are the ones who do not have the Spirit living in them. Well, seeing yet they see not. And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I'm going to stop here for just a minute because I want to qualify something. I'm not attacking Brother Vail's ministry. I'm just telling you that I don't care who you sat under. If you're sitting in this pew, sitting in this church, and if you're looking to me, you're lost. You've got to look to Christ. Brother Vail said, get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God of the vessel. Too many people are fixated on Brother Vail. Too many people are fixated on Brother Branham. And you know what? When you do that, you're lost. You've got to be fixated on Christ. Period. Now, seeing yet they see not. And hearing They don't hear, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Listen, we have a revelation that is so complete that men like Peter, James, and John are going to want to sit with you and talk with you for a long time about what this revelation meant to you, what it did for you, how it changed your life. Now, we stated earlier that the word echo speaks of continuity. And the word continuity means the state or quality of being continuous. An uninterrupted succession or flow. I want you to keep in mind now, you're walking in the light. And the state and continuity speaks of the state or quality of being continuous. As long as the light's there, you're walking in the light. As long as he's in the light, you're walking in the light. And an uninterrupted succession or flow. Uninterrupted. Nothing distracts you from that. That's your main thing. A coherent whole. A detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot in a film. Continuity. Keeping the thought, keeping the continuity, keeping your continuity in him. And as you can see, all these descriptive meanings show the attributes of what an echo really is. And the purpose of an echo is to bring about continuity or an uninterrupted succession or flow, so to speak, to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot or from voice to voice if we are to be more scripturally accurate. In other words, the promise is if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. That's God's promise to us in 1 John 1 and 7. So it is essential that we continue to walk in the light as he is walking in the light. If we stop, we can no longer echo. You cannot echo what was said yesterday. You can repeat it. But echo, it must be present tense. Now, we might remember things that were said yesterday, and thus we can repeat, and possibly through memorization we might say those things that he once said, but that's not the same as echoing. To echo shows present tense. The source has to be present for it to be echoed. Quoting shows we are just repeating something that was once said in times past, but to echo, the literal voice must be present to echo. And there's a big difference between echo and repeating. If he is not present in your life, you cannot in no way echo. You can intellectually understand Godhead. You can intellectually some of these things. But Jesus said that he and his Father would manifest themselves to you. And you say, how is that? Because their life is living in you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living. It's not Paul that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, he said, it's not Paul that's living it. I'm living it by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God. The same revelation he had, I and my Father are one, is the same revelation that you and I have. That's what Paul's saying. Thus you can see that echo will keep the continuity of thought and speech, because an echo not only will say the same thing, but will bring forth the same inflections, the same dynamics of the original speech time and time again as it proceeds forth in its course of life. That is why we're taught in the scripture that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Because when you hear, you're not only you hear the word, but also the inflection of spirit, how that those words were said. That's why I've always been against people that will translate from, they will translate, say, from Brother Branham to say German or French, and then they translate from French to another language. You've lost it by that time. Anytime you take it from one language to another, you've lost it. Unless the person is hearing the tape and translating from the hearing. Faith cometh from hearing. It doesn't come from reading. Can I say that again? I'm not here to offend anybody, but faith doesn't come from reading. Faith cometh from hearing. and hearing the Word of God. You've got to have the life of that Word. You've got to have the Spirit. You've got to have the inflection and the dynamics of that Word. That's why I tell you people, listen to Brother Branham's tapes every single day. You know what? If you're listening to those tapes every single day, and you're meditating upon what he's truly telling you, you're walking in the light as he is in the light. It's been proven scientifically. They've taken pictures and they've shown that pillar of fire is right over those tape recorders. That's his presence, God's word. Now that's why we're taught in scripture that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Because when you hear, you not only hear the word, but you hear the inflection and spirit of how those words are said. But just reading it, it doesn't do it. I mean, it might be all right. It might inspire you a little bit. But when you start to hear that voice, there's something just, there's totally different. You get the Spirit reflecting in the tone and the inflection and all the characteristics associated with the spoken word. That's why Brother Brandon didn't say, the written word is the original seed. The spoken word is the original seed. Thus, the spoken word that we know is original seed, and as a seed, it is subject to the commands of God concerning all seeds, which is spoken of in Genesis 1:11, that every seed must bring forth after its kind, or nature. Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or reflect what nature was in that seed, and if the original spoken word is a seed, then that spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. And that's that life we're talking about. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original will be behind it. Because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats itself over and over again, and the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry on with it the same expression and dynamics and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. From marriage and divorce, Brother Brown said, now listen, do you see? One interruption spoils the entire program. Now, when human beings was running in continuity with God, one man, one woman, this woman sinned, and it threw the whole earthly program out of continuity with God. Therefore, one word added to this book or one word taken from it, it throws out, as a Christian, out of the continuity with God. It throws the church out of the continuity with God. It throws a family out of the continuity with God. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. That's why we take our stand on John 14:12. Not to be fussing, but to say it the way the prophet said it. Amen. He said, well, brother so-and-so said. I don't care what brother so-and-so said. If he doesn't say it the way the prophet said it, if he doesn't say what's on the tape and exactly no more, no less than what's on the tape, forget it. He's not saying what God said. And the beauty of what we're looking at here is that an echo is a continuity of the original word. That's why you can hear God's prophet speak the word of God, and then you come home to the church, or you come from home, you come to church, and you hear God's voice speak the same words all over again. And I'm not saying I'm God's voice, but what I'm telling you is you hear that voice of God in you. Because there's only one voice, even though there may be different vessels speaking that same word. And that is how you know whether that ministry is true, because it speaks exactly or it echoes exactly what the voice of God does to that age. I've had a number of you come in here. And they say, you know, I listen to 4 or 5 tapes every week, sometimes 4 or 5 tapes a day. And Brother Brian, when I come to church, I hear you say exactly what God was showing me in those tapes. Why is that? It's one voice. It's one voice. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you during the week. You come here, he reconfirms it with an amen. That's right. From this morning in church 8, Brother Brown said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. Now listen to somebody listening to somebody on a tape isn't faithfully taught. Sitting with that man hour upon hour upon hour and talking the word as Brother Vail did with Brother Branham, that's being faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge what the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said. And even as Peter did likewise, he warned them that he, Paul, could not change one word of what had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. In other words, say what the tape said. Now, when it is the voice of God speaking, it will always say the same thing, the same way, from echo to echo to echo, always the same way and the same meaning. But quoting or repeating by memory is not so. When man begins to move from walking in the light as God is in the light, he moves away from the living word and he moves to an intellectual repetition. In other words, an echo is a living reflection, whereas just repeating the doctrine is based on memory and intellect and is not living. It is just a theology and it's dead. The word kills, the spirit maketh alive. Now, years ago, I heard Brother Vail preach a message called Omega Reflection, 1983 and 1984. The best one, he said, was in Columbus. And in it, he spoke about when Moses came down from the mountain and his face were aglow with the presence of the Lord, and the people made him put a veil over his face because they were afraid to look upon his face because he was glowing from the Shekinah presence of God. And Brother Bell went on to speak how the prophet is in direct line with the light of the or pillar of fire, and as he reflects it, if we would just stand there in that same light, pretty soon we would begin to reflect ourselves that same light. But the people didn't want that. They were afraid of that light, so they had him put a cover over his face. Now, this is a very good thought, and inspired much of my studies over the past 30 years. And a true echo will say what has been said in the same way it was said. Always go back to Brother Billy Paul's testimony. He said something to his sister, and it was kind of a rebuke. He said it in a harsh way, and she began to cry. And he said, "Well, I'm only saying what Daddy said." And she said, "But you didn't say it the way he said it." So there's a difference between quoting and echoing. Because if you would have echoed that, it would have been done with the same spirit and the same inflection and the same love that was done through Brother Branham. And a true echo will say what has been said in the same way that was said. Now that we know the Greek word that was translated from the word hath, let's just read two verses of Scripture over again and see how our understanding changes as we read them. In 2 John 9, we read, "Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son." Now, again, let's plug in our understanding of what the Scripture is saying and use the actual wording that best fits this Scripture. "Whosoever does not keep pace with, and therefore goes beyond the limits," positive or negative, future or past, "goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ, echoes not God." And why is that? Because if you do not keep pace with, then you're either speeding up or you're slowing down an echo, and an echo cannot speed up, nor can it slow down. It must say it just like it was said. You speed it up, and the voice of God would sound like the chipmunks. And you wouldn't take it too seriously. Slow it way down, and the voice of God will sound like lurch. For those who don't know who he was a monster. In other words, it won't be the same. It won't have the same life. It won't have the same inflection. No, not the same spirit. Brother Brown told us, say what is on the tape, only what is on the tape, and say it like the tape said it. Because he was saying it the way that God said it. Remember, God was speaking lip to lip. Because that was God speaking lip to lip to his prophet as he promised. And John continues, "He that abideth," which means to remain in, "the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and Son." Now, let's examine this in light with our next text that we read this morning, 1 John 5 and 12. "He that hath," he that echoes the Son, echoes life. "And he that echoes not," the Son of God, "echoes not life." Then if you cannot echo the Son, you cannot echo the life of the Son, and God is life. For you see, when Jesus came, he said, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus said in St. John 5:19 and 5:30, the Son can do of himself nothing, but whatsoever he seeth, which present tense, seeth, the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. In other words, God presents the vision, and he steps into the vision, and he acts out what he's seeing, present tense. Not looking up in some text and saying, well, you know what? I think this might be okay. I'll just, you know. The Bible says he built an ark. I'm just going to build an ark. It's not present tense. I'm sorry. Noah's message wouldn't work in Moses' day. Moses' message wouldn't work in our day. It's got to be present tense. The Son can of himself do nothing but whatsoever he seeth, present tense, the Father doing, that the Son doeth likewise. And he also said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. And he said, the things that I teach, the Father commanded me what to say, and that is what I teach. And so we see the Son of God reflected or echoed the Father in every detail. And thus he that can echo the Son will echo life, for God is life. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both the Father and the Son. For if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we will also echo the Father. Is that right? Well, John 5:19 says, I can't do anything but what the Father shows me to do. And what the Son sees the Father doing, the works that the Father is doing, the Son worketh likewise. Is that what he said? Then he turns around and says, and the works that I do, well, you do likewise. Jesus was echoing the Father, and now you're echoing Jesus. And it's the same life all the way down. Hallelujah. For if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we also will echo the Father. For an echo is not a one-time event, but it happens over and over and over again. Then Jesus, the first fruit, was the first repeat of the Father to us. And as we catch the vision and are conformed to the image of the Son, that's Romans 8, then we will also be doing nothing unless the Father is showing us first, which is John 14:12. And what we teach are the commandments from the Father, given to us throughout the first echo of his Son, and thus we echo them to others, and they are repeated again and again and again, showing the Word is living and abiding and in us as a continuity of his own life. Just like your heart pumping shows that you're alive. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And notice it is called an echocardiogram, because it is based on the echo of your heart. So you are echoing the Word of God again and again, shows that you're alive in Christ. Just like your echocardiogram shows, this man's alive, he's not dead. And just as in the natural, the heart pumping the blood, which is the life, is in the blood, and thus the pumping of the heart is the evidence that you're alive in the natural, so too in the spiritual, the echoing of the life of Christ in your heart, and the heart represents our understanding, then thus, as the understanding echoes the Word of God again and again, it is an evident token that you're alive in Christ. And the life that was in the Father and given to his Son quickens you, also showing that you are alive. And his life in you today is the same yesterday as it was today and forever. And it is the same life yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am, present tense, I am not yesterday, not in the future, but today I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living today. Yet it's not me that's living today. It's Christ that's living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh today is the life of him. And I'm living it by his revelation. Amen? In other words, Paul's saying, since I was crucified in Christ, I'm living by his faith and his revelation. And thus, as a result of the life by which he lived, I am too living by that same life. And thus we see the life which was in the Father being passed unto the Son, John 5:26, and then unto sons. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And so we see that whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to echo the Son of God will also echo the Father who is life. Now, let's look again at this word hath in reference to the effect it has upon those who possess the ability to echo versus those who cannot. In Matthew 13:12, for whosoever hath, that means whosoever echoes or is of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And why is that? Because the very nature of an echo is to have more and more and more of the same. But whosoever hath not, whosoever is not of such a nature as to be able to echo, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks. he's able to repeat. Now, the term half-life is used 23 times in the New Testament, but in my examining each usage of the term half-life, I found that the word half was not always translated from the Greek word echo. And in my amazement, the only time it was not taken from the word echo is when it refers to what God was doing. Because God doesn't echo, he has nothing to echo. He's the source of it. The voice speaking, the original voice, doesn't echo. But there's an echo of the original voice. You understand? That's the offspring of the original voice. And we are the offspring. The Bible says we are his offspring. We live and we breathe and have our being because we are his offspring. Hallelujah. God does not echo. His spoken word is the original. It is not an echo. But each time that word reflects from one to the next, it is an echoing. Therefore, the source of life does not echo, but we echo what he said. That's why we saw the echo in Moses. We saw the echo in Isaiah. We saw the echo in Daniel. We saw the echo all the way down through the church ages, through the prophets. Because it was the same life in them, saying the same thing, giving the same message. Now notice in 1 John 3 and 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now this word hath is the word echo. So we see that no murderer can echo life. But as we see in 1 John 5 and 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and life is in his Son. Now notice here that we do not see the word echo used. The word half used here is an interpolation and is not even in the original text. Simply put, not God hath given, but God gave to us eternal life. Half was just written in there by the scholars. We've already seen the usage in this verse in 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath or echoes the Son echoes life. And he that hath or echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. Also we find in Acts 11 and 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now the Greek word that the word hath was translated was not echo. It says, then hath God echo. It's not then God, then echo God. No, it's the Greek word didomi, which means to give. Thus, then God gave to the Gentiles, but nowhere does it say that God echoes. Now John 5:13, greater love hath echoes no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Why is it an echo? Because Jesus did it. Right? John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see death, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood echoes eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice, echo, 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 and what comes after it? Life, life, life. Revelation 2 and 7, he that hath an ear echoes, he that is of such a nature as to be able to hear and thus echo, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. John 20:21, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might echo life through his name. And again, John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. It's all about life. So the question to you this morning, are you walking in the light as present tense? The word as means present tense. As he is in the light. Or are you over here someplace saying, oh my, what a wonderful prophet God gave. You know, what a wonderful man Brother Vail was. What wonderful teaching that we got. You know, and we're so fixated back here that we fail to move on and be led by the Holy Ghost. Oh, but you're not standing back here with us. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You're not standing back with us. You're not walking in the light because we got it because he was in the light. We know he was in the light. Good grief, brother, sister. Are we fixated on vessels? Or are we fixated on the God who was in the light that that vessel happened to be following? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just ask that you would help us to examine our own life. Whether we are walking and following the leading of the Holy Ghost you, O God. Because you said you're a pillar of fire. You said through your prophet in the third Exodus, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. So our question is, Father, are we being led? Or have we stopped to look back? Are we echoing? Or are we just repeating? Help us to know within ourselves as we examine our own soul. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed, or He's given unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed.